The Gospel of John, chapter 6. I suppose the verse that we look at today is probably one of the most quoted verses to those who preach sovereign grace. And the verse reads in verse 37 of John 6, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I remember a conversation several years ago now that I had with a pastor of a free will church, and we were discussing our beliefs. That particular day, only one scripture came to mind as I was endeavoring to tell him that I believed that God was in control of all things, that God elected a people before the foundation of the world and called them by His grace and saved them by His mercy, and He keeps them by His sovereign hand. And it was this verse. Immediately, his comment to me was, "You must be a Calvinist." And I remember very vividly saying, "No, sir, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe in a sovereign God who, as I said a moment ago, elects, calls, and saves all sinners that He gave to Christ before the world began." Again, he said, "So then you're a Calvinist." And I told him that I did not trust in John Calvin for my salvation. I trusted in Christ, who was made to be sin for me. You see, I believe John Calvin had many good points, but he had 5 real good points. We call them the 5 points of Calvinism, TULIP, and they are scripturally correct. And I understand that John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me," is a Calvinistic view that John Calvin taught. But so did many others, even before him. One being the Apostle Paul, and the other being the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our Lord teaches us in this verse that God has chosen a people. Has God shown you that? That salvation is by His choosing. And He's given these people to Christ. And they must and they shall come to Christ to be saved. That's just the truth of Scripture. And again, this man asked me how I could reconcile the second sentence in that verse, which reads, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said, "How can you reconcile that with the first part of the verse?" And I told him, I said, "There's no controversy between the two statements." And I remember something that Mr. Spurgeon once said. He said, "I never endeavor to reconcile friends, for friends don't need reconciliation." "Oh no," he said. He said, "Man has to take the first step." Now let me tell you, if that's true, there's no hope for me. None whatsoever. Dead in trespasses and sins. How am I going to take the first step? God must give me life. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So, for a few moments this morning, let us consider this. Does this verse leave the free grace of God open to the free will of man? Is God saying in the first part, "I'm a sovereign God and I do as I please, but you've got to do something too"? Is that what this verse is teaching? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As Paul often said, God forbid. God has chosen a people and has given these people to Christ, and these people, as I said, must and shall come to Christ, and they shall be saved. The second truth declares that all who come to Christ, He will in no wise cast out. Salvation, as I said, is the choice of God and not the choice of man. Do you know what? You want to know why? Because no man can come to me. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father which sent me draw him. John 6:44. So let me ask you another question. Is man's will involved in this matter of salvation? Absolutely not. For again our Lord said, and you will not come. You will not come to me that you might have life. It's not your will to do so. God must make us willing in the day of His power. What did our God say to Moses? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Now, where in that statement is man's will involved? I will, the God of heaven and earth, have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will. And on whom I will, I'll have compassion. And the apostle says, so then it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God. But of God that showeth mercy. I find great comfort and peace in knowing that salvation is of the Lord. And let me tell you why. Beloved, if I can achieve it, if I can earn it, if I can merit it in any way, then I can most definitely lose it. You know why? Because I waver and I change like the wind. And you do too. Oh, we're up one day and down the next. One day we're full of faith, the next day we're full of fear. Let's just be honest, aren't we? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I must have Christ. He doesn't waver. He doesn't waver. According to this blessed passage of divine inspiration, those that come to Christ come because of the Father and the Son. Read it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's two involved, the Father and the Son. Why is it that they're made to come? Because the Father has given them to Christ. Why is it that they shall come? Well, is it because there's something good in them? The Scripture says no. They plainly teach that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That excludes each of us. If it said there's none that doeth good but one, I guarantee you I'd be thinking I was that one. And so would you. But the Scripture says, no, not one. Do they come because they have strong wills and solid determinations? No, that's not why. For the Scriptures say, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's those three words again. But of God. Oh, that's the gospel. But of God. The reason that is given why they shall come to Christ is because of something that was done for them by the Father and by the Son. There's never been a needy soul that really, now listen, really wanted to come to Christ that was forbidden to come to Him. Never one. And the child of God has no problem reconciling the elect of God with whosoever will. Now you may, by God's grace, understand this, and you may not. But we do not come to Christ by moving our feet. We come to Christ by God moving our hearts. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. None are saved other than by coming to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read it in John 10. There is but one door. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, but there's only one straight and narrow way that leads to life. We read in verse 7 of John 10 that the Lord Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In verse 9, He said again, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, how I pray that this is made clear to you by God's Spirit. If you come to Christ, the Father gave you to Him before the foundation of the world. And you will come if He did that. To trust Christ and to do all that God requires of you is simply to come to Him and believe Him, to love Him. If you trust in Him as your all and in all, then the Father in eternity past gave you to His beloved Son. And people get so caught up in, how do I know if I'm one of God's elect? You come to Christ. You love Him. He's your everything. That's how you know. Let's don't make this hard. But someone might say, well, I must do this and I must do that. Don't listen to them. Do you believe that Christ Jesus paid your sin debt? Do you? That was a great debt that you could not pay. Do you know deep in the recesses of your heart that Christ died for the ungodly? Do you believe that? Has God revealed to you that that's what you are? Do you believe what the Scripture says? Paul said it's a saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Do you believe you're a sinner? Just as you are sinful, wretched, wicked, cast yourself, dear friends, upon His blood and His perfect righteousness. That's where life is. What must I do to be saved? You can't do nothing but trust, believe, and cling to Him. Have you in your heart committed yourself to follow Him? Do you plead to God for help to walk in His footsteps? Let me tell you something. If your answer is yes, then you've already come to Christ. Before the earth was made, before the stars were hung in the sky, before man and woman were ever created, God the Father gave some people to His beloved Son. I know that my spirit bears witness with His spirit that He will assuredly bring me with all His elect to His kingdom and glory, where we shall forever worship Him together. The Spirit, God's Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now some will say, brother, that's just an old-fashioned doctrine. Friends, this is an old-fashioned doctrine because it's the very message that our Lord preached over 2,000 years ago. And though it is not often now preached, I'll tell you this, it's my life. And I rest my soul's weight upon it for time and for eternity. Do you really believe what you preach, preacher? I wager my soul on it. I rest my soul's weight upon it. It was my Lord and Savior who said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. I will, by Christ's work of righteousness in me, cling to those blessed words throughout the ages to come. And you will too, if you're one of His. You will too. When you and I sit at our beloved's feet forevermore, we'll praise Him throughout all eternity that He spoke those blessed words to and for you and I. Now, I want you to notice one other thing, that this is an everlasting gospel. Everlasting. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. To whom is this glorious promise made? Our Lord said, to him that cometh to me. That's who. Listen, if you're guilty, and again, I speak to those of you who have not yet come to Christ. If you're guilty of committing atrocious, abominable sins, if you have come to Christ, He will in no wise cast you out because of them. And once that a sinner is with their blessed surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, He'll hold on to you and He'll never let you go. You see, it ain't in me holding on to Him, it's Him holding on to me. No man shall pluck them from my Father's hand. No man shall pluck them. Though you have sinned deeply and willfully, if you come to Him, friends, there's no way you'll be cast out. Just no way. And to those of you, as I said, who are yet without Christ and have not come to Him, you listen to me and you listen to me well. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, believed, or how you've lived, if you come to Him, He'll never cast you out. But you say, well, you just don't know all the horrific things that I've done. You have no idea the things that I've thought and carried out in sinful pleasure. You're right, I don't. But God does. And it doesn't matter if you come to Him. Was it not our Lord who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest? Isn't that what He said? Come unto me. If you're laboring with your desperate condition, if you're heavy laden under a load of guilt and shame because of your sin, He still bids you to come to Him. The only thing that'll keep you out of glory, friends, is unbelief, obstinate rebellion, saying in your heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's what'll keep you out of heaven. That's what'll keep you out of glory. But your sin won't. Your righteousness will, but your sin won't. You know why? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And maybe there's one here today that's now older, up in years, and you've lived all your life in sin and shame. God puts no limits on this glorious coming, only that you come to Christ. I thought about that. I've known several older folks that have died without knowing Christ. And when Naaman the leper, you remember him, he was a great man of war. He became a leper. What a horrific disease. And it represents sin so well in the Scripture. It was terminal. Why, your skin began to rot. And I don't mean to be grotesque, but body parts would just fall off. And Naaman the leper went to the prophet, and he went to Elijah, and Elijah didn't even come out. He said, you go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And when Naaman came up from washing in the Jordan, we read there in that passage of Scripture, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And so it shall be with you. Maybe you're like the Israelite who was bitten by that fiery serpent. You remember that story. You're bitten by that fiery serpent in the wilderness, and the poison begins to permeate your body. You're going to die. And all of a sudden you hear the voice of Moses from high on the hill, and he's holding up a serpent made of brass, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs, look and live! Look and live! Oh, you can't move. Your body's paralyzed. You can't cry because the poison has affected your ability to produce no more than just a faint whisper. What can you do? What can you do? You can look. You can look to that fiery serpent of brass and live. And our Lord Himself says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Will you look? Will you look? I beg you to look. Look and live. Now don't you love that blessed three-letter word, all? Our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Everyone that the Father gave the Son will come and will be saved. All. I just referred to it a moment ago. Our Lord stood up on that day and He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All of you. In another place He said, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing. In another place He said, all things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. All things are delivered unto Him. Everything. Romans 8:28, we can quote it by heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What works together for your good, brother? All things. All things. In another place, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Do you understand? Has God shown you the God of this Bible and who He is and what He is able to do? He's able to do all things. I'm sick and tired of hearing about a God who's trying and, oh, you've heard me say it so many times, I hate to even say it again. Won't you let God? If I can let God do anything, friends, you better bow to me. We can't let God do nothing. He's the sovereign potentate. He's the all-powerful, almighty God who spoke the worlds into existence. And we're going to let Him do something? How ridiculous that is. Anybody believes it ought to be ashamed. And let me tell you, they're going to be damned. Because one day they're going to stand before this God. And it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Through him. Through him. Through him. Through him that loved us. But the most blessed all of all alls. Did you hear what I said? The most blessed all of all alls is, and had put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him, whether there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. He's all, and you take that to the farthest extent that your mind will allow you to take it, and in all. Go even further. You can't reach the end of it. He's all and in all and in all and in all. He's everything. He's everything. Oh, I beg you to remember, dear sinner, Christ, who is all and in all, says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So let me ask you, have you come to him? Why haven't you? He doesn't say all the world, not all the good and moral folks, but all that the Father gave Christ before the foundation of the world. They shall come to me, and I won't cast them out. They're forever mine. Forever mine. Kind of shoots holes in the old doctrine of once saved, always saved, those that don't believe it, doesn't it? But brother, now you know you can lose your salvation. If you saved yourself, you can. But if God saved you, you can't. Because he will in no wise cast you out. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Lord Jesus Christ makes me everything I'm not. I'm unholy. He makes me holy. I'm self-righteous. He makes me perfectly righteous. And he will in no wise cast you out. You're eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, have you come to him? Have you come to him? If you haven't, why do you tarry? Remember, it's God the Father that gave you to Christ, and he's the one that enables you to come. He bids you simply come to me. Come to me. Now, would he bid you to come to him if he didn't accept you? What kind of God would that be? Come to me, and then you come, and he goes, no, I didn't mean you. Come to me. Come to me. May the Lord add his blessings to the preaching of his gospel.